Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. I'm live from the Allo Communications Studios this afternoon. And joining me now, a member of that awesome defense for Colorado State, kept him in a lot of football games this year, defensive back Chigozie Anuseum. Chiggy, my man, thank you so— oh my gosh, look at that. The crowd loves it. The crowd loves it, man. Chiggy, how are you, my man?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
You know what? We're hanging in there. It's Football Friday, and what better way for us to start Football Friday than to bring on a sensational player like yourself? Chiggy, I know some decisions got to be made for you. I'm not sure where your head is with everything, but before we get to that, I mean, this defense, you guys played lights out throughout a good chunk of the season, and then you finished off getting that shutout. To me, honestly, man, I was kind of surprised. I mean, we were hearing four air raid all the time, offense. You guys came in under Freddie Banks, and that defense was something else, man. You guys were fun to watch.
Appreciate it. We work real hard.
Honorable mention, all Mountain West and some stud players we already know. You know, we heard about Kamara. He's coming back. You got guys like Jack Howell, Henry Blackburn. They're going to be back to try to build up this defense again. So, Chiggy, my man, I gotta ask, man. Have you made a decision? And what is that decision? Are you leaving? Are you coming back? What are you doing?
Well, first, I'd want to just thank everybody that's been here for me, my family, friends that's helped me make this decision, coaches who helped me make this decision. I don't think my time at Colorado State is quite done, so I will be coming back.
He's coming back. There we go, Chiggy. Dude, you just made a lot of people happy now. I mean, what does that mean to you to say, you know, just say it out loud, say, hey, I'm coming back. We're gonna finish what we started defensively. And that offense, we know that thing's going to get better too. But what does that mean to you to be a Ram?
No, it's huge, honestly. You know, I can't thank Coach Novell enough and the coaches that were giving me the opportunity to come here and play. But as far as the defense goes, like, I've, you know, obviously talking to Henry Blackburn, Jack, Aiden, guys like that, Brandon Guzman. I think next year we have way more left in the tank to give to you guys, to give to the fans. So it should be exciting. I know offense is going to get it right, but I think we're on defense. We're really excited having the key guys back.
Dude, I'm so happy to get you back. I mean, we've been thinking about it, and who's all coming back for this team. And talk to us about the decision. You know, you just kind of said some of the players and what you feel like for this community. But, you know, this is one nowadays with the way the transfer portal is. I mean, this is something where you really have to sit down and analyze every situation and see what's ultimately best for you. Can you talk to us about that process and what that looked like for you?
Yeah, it was a lot of talks with my family, a lot of prayer as well. Just, you know, this decision, I'm not going to say it was hard. It was just more of time-consuming, just knowing that I do have the option to either declare or come back. So, you know, I think I had some good people in my corner who advised me really well. And I just think that, you know, I love playing for Colorado State, and I only have 1 year doing it. So I think another year we'll get this thing growing, and we'll give the fans what they want to see.
CSU Rams defensive back Chigozie Anuseum joining us, who just made the big announcement. He is sticking around. He will be a Colorado State Ram again. The coaching staff, I know it wasn't the season as far as the record-wise that we were looking at, but, man, the optimism is still extremely high. I mean, people seem to really buy into what Jay Norvell's doing, and on the offensive side, Matt Mummy. And then, of course, Freddie Banks. Freddie Banks has been awesome, man. So talk to us about the coaching staff and how that helped, you know, kind of make that decision a little bit easier for you.
Yeah, well, I feel like my development since coming here has been something that I've never had in college. It's just how I think about the game, the way I obviously play the game. Freddie Banks is, I don't know if he gets as much credit, maybe now he is, but we've known he's a guru of defense since he got here, just the way he would talk to us about the game and how he's telling us to think about it. And also, too, Coach Patton, the cornerbacks coach, he's definitely helped me how my mindset is about the game. So I think this coaching staff, for me personally and my journey with football, they've definitely been probably the biggest blessing in college so far.
Chiggy, we had Jack Howell on not too long ago, and he was talking about Freddie Banks and kind of his approach and how at first, you know, he was like, you got to get to this spot. You have to be, your feet have to be right here. And Jack's like, come on. And then you started to progress, you're like, okay, that's why. That's why my feet need to be right. I mean, is that how it is a lot? Like, very precise. I mean, you got to be exactly where he needs you to be.
Yeah, 100%. Coach Banks, he doesn't let us, he never lets us take a day off, especially in the DB room. He never, ever lets us take a day off. So first day he came in, you would have thought that we were running the defense for 4 years, how he was expecting us to get the precise step. But obviously, ultimately, it helped out. But yeah, he's very particular about where you need to be.
What's what are your teammates like, man? I mean, what's your relationship like? Obviously, it's pretty darn good because you're coming back. But you guys all talk so highly of each other. You know, again, having the DBs in here not too long ago, some other DBs, they just build you up so much. You and I have talked. You build them up so much. I mean, and that that's how you build that chemistry and that positivity throughout the locker room.
Mm-hmm. Nah, we're honestly, all of us are pretty close. This is kind of the closest group I've been around in college in terms of just, like, I know that right now if I need something, I can call any one of them, and they'll come and help me out with whatever I need, and it's vice versa for them. So I'd say, like, we all come from different places and walks of life, but, like, just when we're together, I think what really helps is just how we all think about the game. So we built that mutual respect, just seeing each other work hard every day, and just when we get to the field, obviously produce, so... We have a really good relationship in the locker room.
What was it like, you know, mentally for you guys, too? Because, again, defensively, more often than not, you guys were coming up with big stops. You were keeping Colorado State in games. But we know on the offensive side, you know, young quarterback, young offense, new system and all that that just didn't quite take hold. Was it ever frustrating or anything? Or were you guys just so close that that helps you kind of get over those kind of mental hurdles, too?
Yeah, I mean, it helps us get over the mental hurdles of us being close, but, I mean, as being on a football team, we definitely have a close enough bond to where, like, we could, like, if, let's say I'm slacking one day, Jack can definitely get on me and let me know, like, yo, Chig, like, pick it up. So I think us having that throughout the whole entire season, it was just more of, like, I mean, our job on defense is to get stops and put offense in position to score, and we did that. So I know we were very young last year. That's why I think coming into this year, they're going to light it up.
Yeah, talk about that with us. What is your kind of belief right now in this offense and in Clay Millen and so many of these studs, you know, Torrey Horton, again, Avery Morrow, who just kind of, to me anyway, came out of nowhere, probably not for you guys. But what's your belief right now? What's that like for you personally looking at this offense?
I believe in them 100% because I know how they all work. So to have a whole another offseason, I know we're going to bring some guys in on offense, which, I mean, we need because we have some guys leaving on the offensive line. But I have 100% confidence that they'll be the best offense in the conference next year with just me understanding how they work, having a year together under their belt, and them being so young.
Do you feel any sense of pressure knowing, okay, this defense was what really kept us in games, what won us games? You finished the season with that shutout, and you just said it earlier, like, maybe Freddie Banks isn't getting the recognition that he deserves. Well, maybe now he is, so there's no secret anymore. We look at this defense, and we go, all right, we expect that defense is going to be pretty good next season. Is there any sense of pressure on your end?
Well, I mean, pressure makes a diamond, so, I mean, I kind of like the pressure. I like the pressure.
I love it, man. Well, Chiggy, I know you and I have some things in the work next year that we're going to work on. So, you know, I played defensive back in high school, Chiggy. Mm-hmm. And I told you on the phone, man, I'm like, you get to do what I – apparently you got to be faster, stronger, quicker, better at sports and all that stuff. So if it wasn't for those key elements, I'd be with you. I'd be playing with you, my friend. Well, not now. I'm a little older. But all those things I missed out on. So it'll be fun to pick your brain and talk real X's and O's on the defensive side, because the defensive back position is my favorite position in all of football.
Yeah, in my opinion, it's the best position, but I mean, that's my opinion. But
how hard is it too, man? I mean, I think that, you know, I know quarterback is extremely difficult. You have to know so much, but as a defensive back, I mean, even in college, some of the rules still slant toward the offensive side of the ball. I mean, it's like, it's got to be so difficult to play. I mean, you have to be so freaking disciplined.
Yeah, it's the discipline, and I'd say the reason I love defensive back so much is just the game within the game, because I'm not only playing against the receiver or the quarterback, but I'm really playing against the offensive coordinator. So when I'm watching film, it's just stuff like, what is this offensive coordinator like on this down with this specific receiver? What is his targets? Okay, I gave him these two techniques on first and second down, but let me change my technique on third. So that's really why I would say I fell in love with the position, just the intricate details. And it's a position that one bad step can lead to a touchdown. So I kind of like the being a perfectionist side of the sport.
How hard is it, too? They always say a cornerback has to have a short memory. You cannot dwell on a big play if you give one up, because it's going to happen. I mean, eventually it's going to happen. How hard is that, though? Because I would be just, you know, depressed all the time. If I gave up a big play, I'm sad for the rest of the game. But you have no time to be sad.
No, it's next play mentality. I mean, if I'm dwelling on the last play, it might happen again. So I'm more looking at it as like a lesson. It's just kind of like how I approach practice. If something happens in the game that I'm like, okay, well, he caught this, and this is the reason why, I assess it really quickly and I move on. So if I'm in that situation again, I just make the corrections.
How cool is it, too? I mean, you guys, you talk about, you know, sharpening each other in that sense, you know, on the defensive side versus the offensive side. But you being a great defensive back, going up against, you know, Torrey Horton in practice and stuff. I mean, how much does that help you going forward on game day?
I'm not going to lie. Me and Torrey, we go back and forth in practice a lot. We really go at it. That's a really fun matchup throughout the week, just knowing I'm going against one of the best receivers that I'm probably going to see in any team. So when I get to the game, it's really like, it's really easy going against Torrey. Torrey's making it easy going against other receivers. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's got to be a luxury. You bust your tail all week trying to go at each other, and then it's like game day comes around. And you're like, oh, Torrey Horton's not going against me today. That's kind of cool. And Torrey's probably thinking the same thing about you. Like, I don't have him, you know, busting me up throughout the week too. So it's got to be a luxury when you get to game day.
Yeah, it definitely makes it easier.
Chiggy, my man, I'm so excited for you. You're coming back. You're going to be with Colorado State next year. And I appreciate you wanting to pop on and do this, too. This is the first time we've ever had the announcement like this. You're our very first guy that's ever come on to announce that he's sticking around or whatever. So, dude, we thank you for that opportunity, my man.
Yes, sir. No problem. I appreciate you guys having me.
All right, Chiggy. Okay, we're gonna meet up. Crazy Carl's Pizza. We'll all order you some pizza. Well, it'll be on me, and then we'll talk about our plans. We're gonna be talking some defense next year.
Oh yes, sir. Yes, sir. Can't wait.
All right, man. Hey, good luck this off season, and we'll be looking out. We'll be reaching out to you very soon, and we'll stay in touch, my man.
Got you. Have a good one.
All right, man. You too. There he is, Chigoze Anusium, defensive back for the Colorado State Rams, just announced. On the whole show, more breaking news, man. It's a drug now. This is my life now. This is what we do.
It's almost like you're a media person.
But see, you say media person. I'm a radio guy. I talk about stuff. I give opinions to stuff. Now I just decided, you know, breaking news. I did that earlier in the week. It's something we want to do.
Well, you got to use what you have at your disposal. If you have the ability to talk to athletes or coaches or little birdies, as you say.
Mm-hmm.
You got to use it.
Got to use it. Well, Chiggy's cool because he and I were talking, because I have this idea, and we're working through it right now. But I want to do a podcast, Angel, where we sit down in this room, and it's a podcast, but it's like, it's unlike anything you're going to hear, where it's just flat out three defensive backs or defensive studs in here talking deep X's and O's. Like, what happened on this play? Like, we're going to have clips in studio, and we're going to go through it and talk about, okay, you got that interception. What were you seeing? What was the quarterback tipping you off to? Or you gave up a long touchdown. What was the coverage here? Dude, we're going to break in. Now, again, within reason, we're not going to be giving away what Freddie Banks' defense is doing and how they do everything, but we're going to analyze stuff and talk about it, and that's going to be so much fun for our listeners. Because we all love football. If you listen to the show, you love football. But we all want to learn a little bit more about things. Like, you're watching games and you're going, was that on the corner or was that on the safety? You know, the corner looked like he got beat, but really we didn't know is the safety was in the deep zone coverage and the corner's supposed to let him go after 8 yards, but it looks like it was the corner's fault. So being able to get that insight, we're looking for. We're going to build it up, man. We're building this network. These players coming on, we're doing more and more every single week with these guys. And it's, you know, it's great for them. What's amazing for our listeners is content that you will not get anywhere else. Ready for it, man. Ready
Let's
to go.
It.
Isaiah was on earlier.
Is it football season yet?
See, I was so ready for football season to kind of be over
right.
because the season has sucked. for everybody. But yeah, I'm actually really excited.
Well, since the season ended for all three schools, we've gotten nothing but positive news. Really.
Nothing but positive news. It sounds like CSU is pretty much keeping their defense intact. Offensively, just got to get some offensive linemen. And I think away we go for Colorado State. And I'm pumped about Ed Lamb. He just seems like a good dude. And I know we say that a lot about these guys that we follow, but it's not just that. I like the way he talked in that press conference. I like the things he said. And now we're just kind of waiting to see which players are coming back and going to stick around for the University of Northern Colorado. But you're right. All big news. You know, they had McCaffrey time. We were ready to move on from that. It was time. And so then it was like, what's going to happen with the head coach situation? What's that going to look like for CU? They just nailed it. Grand slam. Prime time in the building last night. So, I mean, they killed it. And then CSU, the optimism still very high there. The Broncos, unfortunately, we don't have that.
Good news this weekend?
I don't know.
I don't want to get y'all excited. I just have this
feeling. You've got this
feeling.
You've been talking about it.
All the weeks to finally get it right.
To break the streak.
Do it against the Chiefs in your house.
If you do that and you break the streak and you go, let's say they score 21 points.
My gosh.
Yeah. And they win 21-17. Does that calm Broncos country down a little bit? Does that save Hackett's job? Does it save Russell Wilson's hate? I mean, he ain't going anywhere.
Yeah, it just might. You're stuck with Russ. But if you win against the Chiefs, I think Hackett might get a little more secure. I think Peyton gets a little more secure.
Wow.
This game could completely change the entire year.
And I feel like that. I do agree with you.
Well, we just haven't had a story this week about the Broncos. Nothing really has gone bad.
Nothing really weird, right? I mean, there's injuries, but that's like the norm now.
No birthday parties, no workouts, no sandwiches, nothing.
Yeah, nothing weird from Hackett really either. I mean,
maybe they're just keeping a low profile.
They kind of are. I mean, I haven't heard anything crazy. Hackett, you know, he didn't say anything like, well, somebody's got to win. I don't know. Maybe. That's the kind of game that saves Hackett's job, even though we said 3 weeks ago, he's got to win this one, or he's fired, he's got to win this. Well, now suddenly, it still feels like, listen, dude, my brain.
I don't think you're not going to get fired for losing this game, but if you win it, you can hold your job for another year.
My brain has been going back and forth on this. Like, if you're stuck with Russ, do you just stay the course and say, well, we want to get better, and now Hackett's got all the other things worked out. There is part of me that thinks that there is still a good chance that he sticks around. I don't know. And that would be probably a low percentage part of me, like 12%, 13%, something like that. But I don't know. I just have this weird feeling that they might all just sit down and say, you know what, it's year one. Now we got a lot of plans, too. What'd you read about goodbye rebuild of a new stadium? That's not happening.
No, not a rebuild for the Broncos, but they are looking to implement a $100 million renovation for Empower Field.
Cool, but they're not building a new one.
No.
So that DIA dream of building a little mini city surrounding it is not happening.
Maybe if you want some games.
Yeah. Right now, it's like, we were going to build a stadium, but now we're just going to renovate it.
We're going to save some money because you spent all of it on a quarterback.
I wonder what the renovations look like. Are going to look like. What does that mean? What are you going to do?
I'm not sure. I mean, they did have the fire earlier this year there, so maybe fixing some of that up, some hazardous things.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe they complete the bowl.
Yeah,
maybe. Have fun with it.
Maybe. Eastside Chris. Brady, I think college outsiders don't understand NIL rules, me included. I think your station and the sponsors of the students you have on air would have a good idea of how it works. Maybe you could expound without breaking privacy concerns. I can just tell you how it works here. We reach out to the players that we kind of have interest in as far as, you know, are they guys that we think could come in and do radio, do it well and stuff. And so we kind of reach out to those guys and see if they're interested. And then And then we go out and we find supporters to support the programs, the Crazy Carls, those guys. And yeah, they pay the radio station for, it's like advertising. I mean, you hear all the ads on the station, they're paying for it anyway. But instead, we split everything up and the players get cash from KFK, from the radio station. That's how it works here. No secrets or anything. I mean, it's what we love about it. Obviously, we want to support student athletes and increase the promotion of football and basketball, all sports in the area, so that more players want to stick around, do things. But for us personally, it's like we get insight from the players every week. I can't do a Nico Medved weekly show because they have a flagship and there's rules and stuff where he can't be on weekly. But I can work with the players weekly, and so we can get insight. But the other thing is you hear the coach all the time. Not to say that we don't love hearing the coach. I do. I love interviewing coaches. But we only interview players rarely, and now with this deal, it's like you get to follow them. And it's not just a quick hit about the game, and then we'll talk to them maybe in 2 months. We're breaking it down every single week and following the storyline. So that's kind of how it goes on our end. We have to obviously turn everything into compliance. Everything we do here, they sign up as independent contractors, essentially. And their tasks are, like Clay Millen, Dalen Kuntz, and Isaiah, like their tasks are to help produce radio. I mean, they sit along and talk and support the businesses that support them. That's kind of our end. I don't know about the rest, but 26 minutes after the hour, let's take a short break. There we go. Chiggy, he's coming back. Colorado State getting their defensive studs back in the mix, and we'll see if they can improve on that offensive side because I think Freddie Banks' defense is going to be pretty good. We'll take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Ball Friday.
Go Broncos country. Let's ride, baby.
Wide open Dulcich. First game in the NFL. Touchdown.
You ever done anything dangerous?
Catch it to Judy. Trying to get there, and he does. Jerry Judy. Cross into Jerry Judy. And the Broncos are on the board.
Careful, though.
Spicy. We'll try to do it with Latavius Murray. He'll walk home. And the Broncos, indeed, have an opening drive touchdown.
Wilson looking for Jalen Virgil. Wide open inside the 20, and he's gone.
It's time!
Now, here's Brady Hall.
Football Friday. Broncos playing host to the Kansas City Chiefs. Got flexed. Game got flexed out of primetime. And now it's 2:05. And I don't know, Angel. You're saying interesting things over there.
Oh, that highlight clip makes it sound like a very good season. It's been great.
That's the beauty of editing and all that stuff. You can make things sound really, really good.
It's an 8-14 right there.
Yeah, it sounded fantastic. Just need more of that. You're going to need a lot of it going up against Kansas City. The Chiefs, of course, lost to Cincinnati 27-24 last weekend. The third time this calendar year that Joe Burrow got the best of Patrick Mahomes. Crazy. That team, man, the Chiefs would rather play the Bills than the Bengals.
Yeah, I mean, we all this talk about Mahomes and Allen. It's really Mahomes and Burrow. Burrow is 3-0 against the Chiefs.
He's a stud.
He is.
He has the Chiefs' number. The Chiefs have the Broncos' number, though. 13 in a row. Can they snap it at lucky number 13? Can they win the 14th battle here? And Maybe you do save Hackett's job. You got a Chiefs team that's really pissed off because they lost to Cincinnati. It's not on to Cincinnati. It's lost to Cincinnati.
But are they overlooking the woesome Broncos?
I don't know. Do the Chiefs look at the Broncos like a threat anymore? Remember the days with Peyton Manning? We talked about it. It was so great and wonderful. Broncos were always winning those games. It's been a while now. 13, man. That's insanity. The Broncos won the AFC West every year Peyton Manning was there. And they won it the year before that with Tim Tebow. Now they've got a streak in the AFC West of 13 losses. He's 41. Mahomes is 41-9 in games after Halloween over his career and has never lost to the Broncos. Nine tries.
It's a lot of nevers and
evers and streaks and stuff. I mean, yeah, Mahomes the best, one of the best quarterbacks in the game. Travis Kelce, maybe going to go down as one of the best tight ends ever. And you have just this team's 9-3. I mean, this is a big game for them because teams like your Dolphins and the Bills and all that are in the mix for that first spot. So, you know, this is not a game where it doesn't really matter. No, the Chiefs have to win this one if they want to stay in the top. But what can the Broncos possibly do? I mean, it's been a sideshow in Denver with Russell Wilson and everything that's gone on, the Melvin Gordon situation and, you know, trading Bradley Chubb and bringing in a guy to babysit Nathaniel Hackett from the booth. I mean, it's just been one wacky, weird story after another. Does it finally click? And when we say click, like, what does that mean? They're running the right routes? Russell's hitting the right throws? Or is it just, I don't see anything that defines this offense. There's nothing that defines them.
Well, I think you said at the beginning of the year, how do they move the ball between the 20s?
Yeah.
Can they move the ball effectively downfield if it's running, if it's throwing, if Russ has to settle in a little bit? Maybe you don't go all out on, you know, four verticals every single play. But can you effectively challenge this Chiefs defense? And as we've said it, if the Broncos offense is good, not great, can they, you know, kind of suck some of the life out of Kansas City?
Yeah, I mean, and third down.
Yeah,
third down is such a bad thing for the Broncos. It's like a cuss word there. Third down. And again, a coach will always tell you, it's not always about third down, it's what you do on first and second down. Well, the problem is they're unimaginative on first and second down. It's run, third and 11. And check this out. There's another bad record that looms over them. Since the Broncos began tracking third down, like the NFL back in the 70s, back in the 1972 season, they started tracking third down and the percentages and conversion rate and all that. The worst full season mark for the Broncos is 30.8%, meaning they converted 30.8% of their first downs. And that was 2011. Was that Tebow? That was Tebow. No. Yeah, that was the year before. That was the year. Because their offense couldn't do crap all game. And then suddenly.
Was it directly Tebow to Manning?
Yeah, yep.
Okay, I keep thinking there was like a buffer period there.
No, it was Tebow, and Elway said, Tebow's our guy, and da-da-da-da, and then the Colts released Peyton Manning. And it's like, Tebow who? What? This year, so that's Tebow's offense, a quarterback that could complete like four passes a game. Their third down percentage is 27.4.
Ugh.
That's the worst it's ever been. I mean, it just, I don't know what you do here.
You convert on first and second down.
Find a way. Get creative. First and 10. Do we have to just run it up the gut?
Do a play action.
Do a play action. Get guys going here. Eastside Chris says it's a trap game for the Chiefs. Holyoaks.
What does Dixon think about it?
I don't know. Where's Dixon? They covering 9.5?
This is your week. Where are you?
Where are you, man? Are you guys covering 9.5? You that confident? Holyoaks says, can Hooligans collect on some of these NIL deals for supplying content to the show?
Not that kind of content.
Yeah.
We can't really sell Den references and eat mom. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Holyoaks' last text was McManus left the left hash. For Griner, it's the hashish. And for me, it's some corned beef hash and eggs. Also, go Dragons. They hit the hardwood versus the Simla Bears Cubs tomorrow, which would be today. We could pay for that. Holyoke says, need a big game from Waitman. Plan on him hitting some boomers.
The attacking old people?
Punt game. Punt game.
Here we go.
With that, how come punters don't punt to the corners anymore? You know, you aren't seeing that a lot.
Imagine wind has something to do with it.
I don't know.
I mean, special teams in the NFL nowadays is so, do we even need it anymore? But, I mean, it is a part of the game.
They're going for it so much now.
They should just take the Madden approach and don't go for it on fourth down.
Mm-hmm.
Or fake a punt. Do that. That's fun.
Can you imagine if the Broncos faked a punt? Got it. You go three and out.
What if they did a Philly special with Russell?
Yes. I'd love it. That'd be so. I would love to see that. But he'd probably drop it. Yeah, he'd drop it. Eastside Chris, last win in the USA was in September for the Broncos. Wow.
That was the start of the season.
Is that right? That was their last win in the USA? I mean, they haven't won in a while.
Oh, it was the Texans and then the Niners back to back?
Yeah. Because their last win was the Jaguars and you were in London.
Wow.
Ah.
That was like week three. You guys were 2-1 feeling good.
Week three.
Not feeling good, but above 500.
Week three. I don't know. Are we got a bottom of the hour break here. 41 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out real fast and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Broncos Chiefs coming up this Sunday afternoon. Who do you think is going to stand out for the Broncos offensively? Is this going to be a game? Because you're kind of feeling interesting about this game. You're feeling, and I'm starting to feel interesting. I don't know. I haven't made picks yet.
I mean, I could be completely wrong on this. I probably am.
At some point, they got to
do it. There's nothing like just glaring me in the face that the Broncos are going to lose this by 50 points. It's a rivalry game.
Don't.
It's a divisional opponent. It's Russell versus Mahomes. If you're going to win a game and get something right, it's got to be this one.
It would be the best one to do
Break
it.
Break the streak, beat the number one team in the AFC. It's not going to do much for you in terms of the season, but it gives you, you know, just like, oh, finally we got this team. We got something.
And then that
out.
Might give you enough confidence to stick with Hackett.
Right.
I mean,
if he calls or tells the OC to call a good game, that's a benefit for him.
Yeah, it's all good.
If the offense looks competent, that's a plus.
It's a 9.5-point spread. And I'm just looking here. They would have covered. They lost by 9 to the Raiders. They haven't lost many big... Just look at the point totals, man. They lost by 9 to the Raiders. That was their worst loss until Carolina. And then
that was just the overtime. Or that was the first game or the second one?
Which one for the Raiders?
Yeah.
First one. And then the second one they lost in overtime.
Right.
Then the Carolina game was their worst loss. They've only not covered 9 once.
There you go.
So they lost to Carolina by 13. That's the thing about this team. There is one positive to them, Angel. Their offense is so bad that the other offense is like sleeping and there's no urgency when they get out there. Because they're like, yeah, we don't really need this first down. We don't need to go too deep into the tricks here. Are we just going to try this play? Oh, that didn't work. Eh, you know, I'll punt it. They ain't going to do anything. That's how the offenses operate against this team. So if you can keep this a very boring, crappy game, by the time you get to the mid-third quarter, you have a shot, just like you did against Baltimore. But then the question will be, can you do all that? Can your defense get the final stop? Can you make the final score? Crowd would go nuts.
Like, you need to see Russ with 2:30 left, down by 3. Got to have a touchdown.
Well, what is your confidence level that he could do that?
I mean, it depends on how he looks in the game. If his attitude and his energy is up, and he's like, hey, guys, let's go. This is our drive. We're going to go score a touchdown. I'm not going to throw a random pick. I'm going to look left and right.
And in the middle of the field.
Yes.
All over the place. I'm going
to
look.
And whoever I throw it to is going to catch it.
You better catch it, because I'm finally going to get it right. Okay, picks are next. We'll see how dangerous Angel really is feeling. We'll be right back. It's the whole show
dangerous?
Powered by PDC Energy and Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKI.
The UNC Bears playing Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Cody Ward from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country.
It's time to make our picks here, Brady Hall.
All right. I just don't know on this one. Broncos 9.5. Really? I mean, all right, Angel, what are you doing?
I like the Broncos to cover.
Okay, cover. No win.
Keep it close, and you might have a shot.
Do you say they're going to win? You going to just go over? Might as well.
Broncos win.
You got the Broncos
Let's
to
do
win?
It. Let's just go crazy.
Okay, here's where I'm going. Broncos won't win. But they've covered 9.5 every game but one. So I'm going to say Denver covers the 9.5 because the Chiefs are going to sleepwalk through the game like every team in the history of this year has done against the Broncos. So I'm not going to get so bold and go with the Broncos to win, but I am going to take them to go ahead and cover 9.5. And where am I sitting here? We're doing better. I don't know where my picks are. I'm 34 and 32. I've made a comeback. Got to get this one, though. And we'll see if we can. Angel, great work by you, my man. It was a busy, busy show. A fun show. We got our new UNC coach. We got a stud player sticking with CSU. It's a fun time, man. We got cool things happening throughout the state. That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.